you have a chance to answer present for the roll call after Apostle Thompson is finished. I'll give you a few minutes. Would you all take the opportunity to put yourselves on mute by pressing 4-star? If you have any background noises, 9 times out of 10 you can hear it, and it will project over the call this morning. So if you have any background noises, make sure you put yourself on mute. All righty. Apostle Thompson, your floor, sir.
Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you and we praise you and we honor you for these men and women of God who have assembled ourselves together to do your will in their various vision and calling. Precious Holy Spirit, we ask you to impart revelation knowledge to us this morning that we can increase our submission to your will and your purpose and your plan. Thank you for your word. We give you the glory and praise right now in Jesus' name. Amen. On our impartation this morning, I think we've been together long enough now to get a little deeper and a little further into why God has brought us together as men and women of God. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10, there's a very particular verse. Most of you probably have read it in the calling of Jeremiah. And I just want the Holy Spirit want me to use that to build an understanding of the apostolic ministry. Now, remember when we talk about some of the things I'm going to say to you, we're talking about an office. We're not talking about a person. We're not trying to glorify a person. We're talking about divine order, the way God has set things up. Now, negatively speaking, some of you are not going to make it unless you push harder. This is not a routine fellowship. There are some things that are going to have to be torn down. So yeah, Jeremiah 1:10 says, "See," is the first word, "I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down." So at this point now, it's time for us to start rooting some things out of our ministries that we thought we were right, but it had not produced. We had to be man and woman enough to acknowledge that. There's some things that had to be pulled down that you've been using for years that have not produced, and there are some things going to have to be destroyed and thrown down. And I think it was apostolically in the phase of impartating on these calls, there are some things we have to turn loose. And that's the only way we're going to be to build and to plant properly and get the moving in the right information, the right revelation, the right foundation. The word foundation is very important. That's what I'm going to deal with. Sometimes we got to break a foundation up to build a foundation. Then come transformation. Then there is greater visitation, manifestation, and demonstration. One of the things I want to tear down from all of LTA members is to show my face mentality. To really submit to somebody, you can't play a little game just showing up. If I got to meet you, show up one day just to show your face. That's the old Baptist stuff. That's the old traditional setting. You have to have an Elijah revelation in order to receive impartation properly. You have to recognize an office, an anointing, a mantle, and you have to make demands on that mantle continuously, or it will not come to you. Now, a lot of times we think we're even, but according to the scriptures, there's divine order, the way God set things in order. So just because you got some information, some revelation, doesn't mean there's something else you need to learn. With that in mind, I want you to think about these things. By the law of supply and demand, you make a demand on a mantle. You must learn to make a demand. What? You must learn to make a demand on the mantle of the apostle. That's something we have not known. We have not known the mantle of an apostle. And I wrote a footnote. Many will not receive the impartation because they see it as business as usual. I want you to change that. There's unusual truth, unusual anointing, unusual revelation are being released apostolically in the church today. Unusual truth, unusual anointing, unusual revelation are being released apostolically in the church today. So I wrote this note for you. Don't get left behind by routine thinking. Okay? In Philippians 1:19, it talks about the supply of the Spirit. It's so important. And then I give a short definition of impartation. Impartation is to give from one's store or abundance to make known. In other words, some stored up thing and some abundant thing can be released in impartation. Experience, authority, and favor. Impartation is it's talking about conduct. It's talking about conveying something to you, giving something to you, communicating something to you, spreading something to you, transferring something to you, transfusion, transmitting. That's all that come out of impartation. So as we begin this morning, I want you to take a hold of this impartation that the Lord has given me about the apostolic. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Now this verse is specific, and it gives divine order. It says in the 28th verse, and God has set some in the church. First, we all know what first means. Uno, one. First, apostles. See, we're not talking about men now, we're talking about office. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. Now, pastors, hold on. I'm a pastor. I understand that we recognize that our offices are important. All offices are important. But there's rank and there's order we have not known that can enhance and advance our ministry. So the Holy Spirit is very specific in his voice. And bring me some water, son. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, very important. God said some in the church. First apostles, he called it. Secondly, that's counting. He counted it. That's ranking. Prophet. Thirdly, teacher. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps of government, diversity of tongue. Now, the pastor and the evangelist is in there. And don't make their office no less important, but he's got different orders for us to do. The pastor, whether takes heed to yourself, to all the flock which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer. The evangelist, he witnesses and bring people to Christ. But it's not belittling anything. So I want you to understand and hear what I'm about to impart to you this morning. The purpose, and I might go over this and over this over again because we've been so far behind. The purpose of the apostolic is to create heaven to earth government structure. Now don't miss this. I want everybody to pay attention. I want you to listen. The purpose of the apostolic is to create. See, it has to be created. And it's from heaven. It's spiritually to earth. And the word government structure. So I know most of our ministry have not had this government structure because we have not known the office of the apostle. Notice I said not the apostle so much, the office of the apostle, the office. You know, if a police stop you, you might not even know his name, but you recognize that he's in the office. He got that badge, and if that badge don't make you know the uniform. The uniform don't make you know that he's the police. They're gonna make you know, or that billet. So the purpose. Notice the word purpose. The purpose of the apostolic is to create heaven to earth government structure. Now, there's so much we have to learn about submission, about authority, about yielding to authority, submitting to authority. It's just out of this world, especially among ministers. Because sometimes ministers just won't listen. They have their own agenda. They have their own anointing. They have their own revelation. And I think that we missed out a whole lot by not recognizing God did these things for a reason. Now, here's another reason that we must understand divine order in ministry. when the government structure from heaven to earth is set up or created properly, it will allow the portals, P-O-R-T-L, opening, gate, windows, door, of the supernatural to be open. And you might make note of that when the church had problem on the outside in the fourth chapter of Acts, they prayed, and then God sent the Spirit and give them a boldness to speak the word of God, and many things started happening. When the church had problem on the inside in Acts chapter 5, the Holy Spirit dealt with some things, and you know, Ananias and Sapphira both died. But in Acts 5:12, then he said he done many things by the hand of the apostle. Many things started happening because divine order was set. So the portals, I'm seeing more portals open in my ministry now than ever before, because now I'm understanding the office of apostle, even though I'm your apostle. And some of y'all are training. All the churches are apostolic churches. And some of y'all are training for the office of apostle. I understand that. But Acts 5:12 tells us how the apostles start doing supernatural things. In 1 Corinthians 12:20, it tells us that the church should be first and foremost apostolic. Number one, this is a divine order of ministry given to the church. That is, in that 28th verse, when you look at it, that's it. He named it. 1, 2, 3. The Holy Spirit called out. 1, 2, 3. Give a man no chance to mess it up. Now, you must understand there's a wisdom behind this order. It is not to elevate men or exalt the flesh. Each of the gifts have certain function that operate best in divine order. So that divine order is what we're concerned about. We're not concerned about so much about who's what God divine order is. The anointing and power of God flow through order. And I know one time the scripture said, let everything be done decent and in order. There's an order. The anointing flowed in Psalm 133:2. You know it, you minister. The anointing flowed from Aaron's head to his beard to the skirt of his garment. See, it's coming down. That's why I said Elisha stuck with Elijah, Joshua stuck with Moses, Timothy stuck with Paul. The head represents authority. Order is always based on authority. I think one of the greatest lessons I ever studied many years ago, and some of you are probably familiar with it when I say it, Washman Nee book on spiritual authority. It revolutionized my ministry. It revolutionized the school. It revolutionized my family when we studied about how important it is to know how to yield to spiritual authority. So the authority of the church should be first apostle, second prophetic, third teaching. Now, I didn't put that in order. The Lord put that in order through the Apostle Paul. I know we got Ephesians 4:11. They'll change around some. But I believe he was specifically pointing out his divine order of ministry there in 1 Corinthians 12. Now, even the flow of the anointing is based on this order. Now, there are some of you, I won't call name, that are laying back and you're not really receiving like you should. You're not taking advantage of making a demand on the anointing. I go back, I think you think it's church as usual. You think it's a organization as usual, but it's not. One of the things I did, I trained myself in the prophetic office under my spiritual father. I really trained in the prophetic office there under Brother Hagin. And now I'm in study with apostolic, with apostles now. When you find out you're in the office, you need to train in that office until you grow and understand how that office works. Our ability to fulfill the Great Commission is based on order. Order, 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 order. The apostolic prepares and opens the way for the prophetic. The prophetic in turn prepare and open the way for the teaching. Each one proceeds and paves the way for the other. Each gift and ministry is designed by God in this way to open the way the others can follow. Now, we got two other scriptures I want you to have. I may not read them, but I want you to receive 1 Corinthians 12:28. 1 Corinthians 3:10 and Ephesians 2:20. I'm not going to read them. You go ahead and read them. They're there. Each territory, now where you minister in, where you pastor in, where you live is your territory. Need all three to operate in order to establish God's purpose in that region. See now, we're talking about that word region is another word we need to understand. You see now, I took over the region in my area, my territory. But you got to have all three operating, the apostle, the prophet, and the teacher operating. Now, number one, evangelism and pastoring are utilized as a way of reaching and overseeing the people. Now, pastors, I'm a pastor. Does not make our office no smaller than the other office. It's just a design. A button on the coat is not the coat. But the coat, if a man won't be well dressed, the coat is not much without a button. So they need each other. That's all I'm trying to explain to you. These gifts are important and necessary to perfect the saint and help fulfill the Great Commission. And we know we go in Ephesians 4:11. It gives us that great insight and revelation on what should be happening in our ministry, especially we who are pastoring or prophet or apostle. What should be happening in our ministry? If the church is apostolic, it will also be evangelistic in order to reach the lost. It would also be pastoral to protect and cover those who are saved. Notice that. Apostolic, evangelistic, and pastoral. Every one of them got an order. It's an order, divine order. The apostle now, the apostolic, cannot function without these two gifts. It need the pastor. You need the evangelist. Wherever God send his apostles, they will help change the spiritual climate of their assigned areas, and the people become more receptive to the hearing of God's word. Now, all of you don't report to me, but I got some ministers that report to me continuously what happened to their ministry now. I know it's happening here at Word of Life. The whole paradigm has changed. There are deeper dimensions of the spirit almost instantly when we hit the sanctuary. We don't have no really routine order. Specifically, what order the Holy Spirit won't lead us in, that's where we follow. And the dimension of my preaching have changed, revelation have changed, anointing have changed, because I'm learning from the apostle too. And that's what I desire for all of you to have changed. But as I said earlier, there are ministers who write reports and send to me the many things that are happening in their ministry, and the reason it's happening, they're paying attention, they're falling real close, they're not trying to be equal. Because these offices separate you. We just got to face that. I want y'all to face that. I'm not trying to be like no other organization. You know what I'm saying? We're just trying to please the Lord and help every person we can help to have a full-breasted ministry. The spiritual climate has changed. There are assigned areas and the people become more receptive to hearing the word of God. So you're going to have some religious people holler, but boy, you got to obey God. First, the apostles. The church of Jesus Christ to be first and foremost an apostolic church. We didn't even hear that term. That's not a religion. That's not a denomination. That's divine order. This means it is to be chiefly, inherently, primarily, and principally apostolic in character. Now, what we suffer from? What I suffer from all these years? Not knowing the apostle. Office. I've heard people say they're apostles, just didn't know the office. Now, like I said, the Holy Spirit just brought to my attention, God actually trained me prophetically under Brother Hagin. I trained under that prophet, but I stayed close, and I took that mantle. I stayed so close, I took it. And when I was there, I had such reverence and respect for the man because of his office, that everything he said went right into my spirit. Every move he made went right into my spirit. You can't fake honor. You can't fake respect. It has to be real. You have to have the right motive. when you're flowing in divine things, because perception and discernment is always available to see if a person really concerned about growing or going to another level. This apostolic anointing was always intended to be the governing anointing of the church. Let me say it again. This apostolic anointing was always intended to be the governing anointing of the church. It governs, directs, sustains, and motivates the church toward the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Now, I want you all to see that and hear that and understand that. The apostolic gift and anointing is the core, center, and nucleus of what drives the church. It is the central part around which the other parts are gathered and grouped. Apostleship, therefore, is a necessary and indispensable part of the church. Now, you know, we went so long, as many of you on this line, you've been in ministry a long time. We went so long without this office really being in place as it should. But now that the Lord is working on it with us and training us all apostolically, we need to put all we have in the head and go for it. It is not optional, but needed and required. When the apostolic become the principal anointing of the church, it will set the tone for all that we do. Now, back to those men who are reporting, who minister chanting, who minister growing, who are growing spiritually, they're growing financially, they're growing in every kind of way. I got reports on that. It's you paying attention to this anointing. You cannot take for granted these times we spend together. Even in my feeblest ways, I can say one word that can change your whole ministry. And I would like for you to not put so much emphasis on eloquence and polished stuff, but pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is saying, because he can give you insight to make a move that you can win the whole game. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. When the apostolic anointing become the principal anointing, it will incline the church to be toward fulfilling the Great Commission. Now, here's an emphasis that I want to place on your heart. When the Lord, and I want to place it on your heart, apostolic, and I think it will take a great change in your ministry. Some of y'all are not growing. Some of y'all are not developing as you should. You're still in the same spot. Now, it's not going to be my fault. It's going to be your fault, because I'm about to tell you something now, apostolically. The church has so much traffic. The church trying to accomplish so much, and we as pastors, leaders, we try to accomplish so much, and it almost like the Lord said to me, the church has left her first love, and we have not known proper etiquette for evangelism. We think about mass evangelism all the time, but we need to train ourselves. Now, I'm talking to everyone online now, not just pastors. We need to train ourselves personally. One-on-one ministry. It means so much to God that we begin to witness every day properly. And what I'm saying about that is being led by the Spirit, getting a signal from the Holy Ghost, that person, say something to that person. Wait for an opening. Say, for instance, one of my men ministered to a 72-year-old man, and he cussed. He was just cussing. Then finally he says, I don't know why the Lord left me here this long. That was his signal. He said, the Lord wants you to be saved. Would you pray this prayer with me? And the 72-year-old man prayed and got saved. So what I'm teaching my people is how to pray about 15 minutes a day about witnessing. You know, that's why we receive the power. If you as a minister, myself, I'm an apostle, I witness every day. I mean, one-on-one, anywhere I go. See, it's wherever you go, be ready to witness to people, because when it all boils down, bottom line, it won't be cars, it won't be house, it won't be stars, it won't be suits. It's going to be how many people that you won to Christ, how many people you talk to, my people to win to Christ. So you need to start training your people one-on-one evangelism. In other words, not to be a pest of people going to their house and the Lord didn't send you. We're not talking about Jehovah's Witness style. We're talking about as you go, be ready at all time and have an expectation to be able to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. So that's one, apostolically, I think that's one thing that is missing. The church has not been trained for personal witnessing. When the apostle anointing is on a church, it will affect the personality, temperament, and disposition of the church. This anointing will affect everything that we do, setting the tone for our prayer, worship, preaching, teaching, and overall ministry. You ever got a problem here now? You ever got a problem? Some of y'all don't want to change. Now, if that's not you, just sit there and listen to for the rest. You don't want to change, and by not wanting to change, you're still doing the same old thing when you first connected with me, and you're not watching what I do as an apostle, what brought me such grand success in the ministry, but you're still doing it your way because you've been doing it for 15 years. That's not following me. That's not following me. You almost ought to be a duplication of what I'm doing. And then you'll see the same result. I duplicated Brother Hagin. I duplicated Fred Price. I duplicated them. I watched them so close. I stayed so close upon them. And I saw what they were doing were effective. And it brought the same result, an even greater result to my ministry. It's a learning process. And sometimes we've been in ministry so long, Reverend Doctor, we've been in ministry so long that we're set and we won't see. We can't see how to improve our ministry by looking at who we are and forget about the divine order and forget about the fact that most probably none of us never really seen the full-breasted apostolic ministry. Not the way we're going through it now. See? So your prayer life, your worship life, your preaching life, your teaching life, your overall ministry should be changing into different dimension by paying attention to the works of the Spirit in the apostles' ministry. This was true in the book of Acts, and it's true today. New move are apostolic, and someone had to initiate these new moves that have been prophetically spoken. And so I'm aiming. I'm a new move. God kind of gave me a new move. You follow my meeting anyway. I'm just trying to do what the Lord said do. And then so we're talking about this word that someone is the pioneer. The apostle is the pioneer. And we know this fact now. Pioneers are often misunderstood, mistreated, and misquoted. But that's fine. I know that happened to me, but that's fine. The result that we're getting in our ministry is so important. The early apostles was pioneers, laying the foundation for the church and writing the New Testament. They were misunderstood, persecuted. And yet because they were apostolic, they had the ability to overcome obstacles that would have stopped ordinary men. Now, let's face it, there's some places I'm going to go in the spirit that you're not going to go yet right now. See, because that anointing gave me a cutting edge to pierce some things in the spirit that a normal man wouldn't do. That office carrying that where ordinary man can go. As a pioneer, pioneers expand us and help us break through the barriers that will keep us from progressing. I want you to hear that. I want you to hear that. And I think that's what I was saying earlier. What I'm trying to get over to you is that that I'm here to help. Sometimes helping hurt. And sometimes when we don't want to make a change, breathe on this, Holy Spirit. When we don't want to make a change, it's a hindrance. But yet we say we're an LTMA member. But the leaders are moving and you're not moving. That shouldn't be. That shouldn't be. See, listen, you know where you are. Pioneers expand us. That's what I want to impart to you, to expand you. To help us break through the barrier. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do this morning. The Holy Spirit help me. Break through the barrier. that will keep us from progress. You know, we could have fake progress report, but the proof in the pudding is the eating. We must step off into reality. We must step off to the fact that if our ministry is not producing nothing right now, we need to admit it not producing something and find out why it's not producing. Here's a list of things that pioneers expand and help us break through the barriers that will keep us from progressing. They stir us up to do more, shake us from complacency, and motivate us to reach goal. The apostolic anointing keeps us on the cutting edge. It pushes us forward toward the goal of fulfilling our commission. It releases us from the past and thrusts us into the future. It enables us to meet the challenges of a changing world. It keeps us from being outmoded and outdated. It makes us relevant to our world without compromise. See, all those things are very important, and I see those things happen. It keeps us advancing and improving. Paul was a founder and a foundation layer. Every movement in the church has foundation layers. Every generation needs this kind of people. Without them, nothing is established for that generation. These are apostolic teaching here. And when they talk about a pioneer, the apostle, first the apostle, here's something that should be happening to us, and I know some of it is happening, to advance, progress, gain ground, or conquer territory. Pioneers and pioneering people will eventually succeed, flourish, and prosper. Pioneers are usually men and women of extraordinary courage, talent, vision, and ability. Number four, they are able to succeed in the face of overwhelming odds. Number five, they initiate, instigate, set in motion, trigger, stop the ball rolling, take the first step, take the lead. And so every one of y'all being trained for this type of ministry. Break the ice, institute, inaugurate, found, establish, set up, lay the foundation, introduce, launch, usher in. These are the acts of pioneers. The pioneers, when your church is being trained and all the different ministries that is on the line to function in the apostolic ministry, it doesn't mean all of you are going to be apostles, but you can function when you're under an apostle. You can draw that apostolic anointing. The pioneer also is a catalyst. They do not sit back and wait for things to happen. They initiate new movement. They penetrate new territory. They preach new truth and birth new churches and ministries. How do we capture this pioneer spirit and keep it? All right, let's talk about the pioneer spirit a minute. I'm almost through, almost a half hour. The pioneer spirit is apostolic. God always desires to do a new thing, and it will use apostolic people to do it. Apostolic people have the ability to persevere in the face of opposition. They have the strength and the mentality of a pioneer. The apostolic anointing will set the tone of your life and ministry. Pioneers, now hear me well this morning. Hear this well. Pioneers have a breakthrough anointing. Here's the word breakthrough. It's defined as the act or instant of breaking through an obstruction, an offensive thrust that penetrates and carries beyond a defensive line in warfare. Pioneers have the ability to break through ignorance, oh my God, fear, and other obstacles that keep people from advancing, oh my God. Apostolic ministry has the ability to penetrate the defenses set up by the power of darkness. This is why God has set it to be first. Someone must break through first before any significant progress can be made. Now, just for instance, our ministry, one of the forte of our ministry, here, LTMA, and me as the head apostle, is finances. We're going places that the church might not never have been in finances, in the aspect of saying something, getting people out of the rat race, dealing with money as if the truth is not evil, and we've helped a lot of people, but that's a pioneer. You talking about money coming and having more money, more than enough money. You call it money. That's pioneering in the church, but the church have not talked about that. They've tried everything else, but they haven't talked about it. But that's the thing God called us to do and pioneer. All right. Someone must break through first before any significant progress can be made. Someone must have the courage, ability, and power to break through the obstacle set up by the enemy. Apostolic preaching and teaching have this penetrating power. There must be breakthroughs in finances, television, radio, publishing, building project, and other areas. We must be able to break through tradition. Oh my God. Religion, ignorance, poverty, witchcraft, pride, rebellion, and other obstacles. The apostle has the anointing to break through these things that people might be set free to walk in the truth. Nation, cities, and region are open up to the gospel because of this breakthrough anointing. Without this anointing, these areas will remain closed to the truth. This is why, listen to what I'm reading, it is so difficult to break through in some cities, nation, or group of people. The commission that Jesus has given us demands that we penetrate every region and territory with the gospel. This requires a pioneering spirit and a pioneering ability. The early apostles had that pioneering spirit. They invaded new nations and territories with the gospel. They helped establish the churches and pioneered new way. Pioneers leave an heritage for others to follow. They leave spiritual legacy for those who will come after them. When a church does not have the apostolic anointing at its core, stagnation will result. Stagnation means not moving or flowing, showing no sign of activity or advancement, not developing or progressing, have come to a standstill, to abate, stop, or cease. The church progress is directly proportionate to the measure of apostolic grace. You heard that? Operating within it at any given time. Look at this apostolic grace. My goodness. Apostolic grace. I think I closed right there. And that's what I'll be trying to impart to you. Now, somebody got to be in the head. Somebody got to be calling the shot. And there was John Osteen before he died. John made a statement one time. He says, somebody going to run this church, a deacon, and their family. Somebody's going to run it. So I made my mind, me and my family going to run it. And so in LTMA, I am to be your leader. I am to help you as much as I can. But I cannot help you no more than you want to be helped. I think we have done a good job on our impartation. Y'all be on the line. There's a lot of things to compliment you on. But I'll be poking and sticking at you all the time. Because I do that with my children. I want you to have the best. I want you to know how to do things. Again, let me say to you who've been in ministry quite some time, I can call some name. Y'all been in ministry, y'all have accomplished something. Maybe some of y'all been in ministry longer than me. And maybe some of y'all have accomplished more than me. I don't know. But I've come to grip with the fact that there's a new dimension in my life, a new demand placed on my life by this calling and by this organization. And I hope that you will tactfully and prayerfully understand in my feeblest way how I'll try to impart things to you, to stir you up, to get you to move it in the right direction, to get you to change things. I see a lot of y'all got gifts that are not being used, and I'm going to tell you why. You're too lazy. You're too complacent. You're not hungry enough. You're not thirsty enough. I want to encourage you to become more hungry, my friend. Be more thirsty. Go after it. Get to more meetings. Make yourself more available. Ask the Lord to give you the right. Ask the Lord to open doors for you. We have a great, great world waiting on us. And we're going to do great and mighty things. I can tell you that right now. We're going to do great and mighty things. I've seen some changes. But I'm not satisfied. I want to see some more changes. I see some boys in this organization got gifts and talent, but they're not gonna be able to use it because they're too lazy. They're not hungry enough. So Father, I just pray at the end of this impartation for these in whom you have assigned my care. Pastors, evangelists, apostles, prophets, teachers. I just ask that Holy Spirit, you take these words and stir up the gift that is in them, in their ministry. I break the power of the enemy, any demonic principality power was holding their ministry back, that they will have the opportunities to go forward, to leap, to go to other levels, other dimension, other realm. I thank you for our operating. Help us to operate as one man. Put our as one man anointing on us. I thank you for the MVBs who have helped me to cover these people, that they submit to delegated authority. And I just thank you, Father, whatever they may be going through right now, personally, family-wise, ministry-wise, I'm asking you to open a new opening for them, that they may step into that opening and see the light. We praise you and honor you for the years you've kept us together. We've had great moments together, and we'll see greater moments as we learn together and study your words together. We thank you. May you impart this to each one's heart. May they think about it. May they hear it. When they go over the manuscript, may they see exactly what they need to do to bring changes. We thank you for this time of impartation. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, listen. I'm closing now, but listen. I want you all to be able to make the changes that need to be made. I'm asking you as your pastor, and then I'm demanding you. Make the changes. Don't ever get lazy. Don't ever think about refiring. And there's a lot of things that God has in store for us. I'm looking forward for a great year. I'm looking forward for you to grow. I'm looking forward for you to get closer. It's not up to me to get closer to you. It's up to you to get closer to me. God bless you. See you next time.